Christ Jesus. We thank you for the power of your word and the seed that's going to be sown in our heart. We open our heart now to receive 30, 60, and bear fruit of 100-fold in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. Real quick, the announcements are very brief this week. No Wednesday night service this week. With it being Thanksgiving, we want to allow you time to do all your preparations and whatnot with your family. Don't want you to be stressed out. So this coming Wednesday night, no service. Got it?
Yeah.
All right, no service Wednesday night. That's it. We'll be back next Sunday. It's the first Sunday in December, so we will be receiving the Lord's table. Come excited. We're going to take communion next Sunday, the first Sunday of the month. We take the Lord's table together. Be a great day. And then we're into the Christmas season. Can you believe it? Wow. Hey, there's still time, those of you that are reading through the Bible. I'm playing a little catch-up myself right now because I got a little off rhythm. But listen, there's still time to meet your goals. Just ask the Holy Spirit to help you. I actually finished the book of Ezekiel the other day. Hallelujah. It's not easy. That's a tough one, that one. And the Holy Spirit, I said, I'd pray daily. I'd say, Lord, you got to help me. I'd slog through one chapter. I'd be like, that's all I can handle today, Lord. He got me through a chapter at a time. Praise God, we're done. I'm into Daniel now. I'm going to finish. I can smell the finish line at that end of the Old Testament. It's done. I'm there. Last year, I think we were going out with the Edges. We had an invite to come over and celebrate the New Year with them. I finished Malachi 3 on New Year's Eve. I mean, wow. Cutting it right to the wire. But I want to encourage you. Have faith. Take courage. Press on. Amen. Whatever your goals are in reading through the Bible, listen, you can't absorb too much of this word. Amen. Just read it every year. And then next year we're going to start over again. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to begin in verse 31. Look at verse 31 with me. Covet earnestly the best gifts. Say best gifts. All right. And we know what the next part of the verse, it leads into chapter 13. But I want you to focus on this verse for just a moment. Covet earnestly the best gifts. What is the very best gift of the Holy Spirit? Of the nine gifts, what is the very best gift in any given moment? I'll tell you. I'm glad you asked. It's the gift you need the most. Because if you need a healing, then the gift of the word of knowledge doesn't do much for you. And if you're looking for answers and you're not sick in your body, the gift of healing is just kind of wasted on you. You need a word of knowledge. Or you need a word of wisdom. Amen? The best gift, he says here, covet earnestly the best gift. The best gift is the gift you need at that given moment. Amen? there's an eternal argument among concealed handgun carriers, people that are into calibers and pistols and guns, people that carry, you know, thank God we have freedom in this country to do that. If you want to carry a gun, you can be like an old cowboy and do that. But, you know, the old argument is, which caliber is the best caliber to carry? Because, you know, some calibers have maybe more, quote-unquote, stopping power than others when it comes to stopping the bad guy. And the age-old argument, it ends with this idea. The best caliber to carry is the one you'll have on your person when you need it, right? It doesn't matter if you have a 44 Magnum in your glove box. It's not going to do you any good on your, you know, if you're getting held up in a dark alley, right? And you don't have it with you because it's too big to carry in your waistband, right? So the best gift of the Holy Spirit is the gift you need at that given moment. Amen? And the Bible says here, covet earnestly the best gift. The best gifts. And you know, this verse was written not to an individual, although we can read the Bible as an individual. It was written to the church. So when we come together every Sunday, what we ought to do is come together with this attitude. Lord, we want your gifts to be active. We know brother so-and-so over here, he's a regular prophesier. We know sister so-and-so over here has a gift of healing that operates through her on a regular basis. We know so-and-so over here, they typically have their antenna up and they pick up on a message in tongues when the Holy Spirit wants to quicken it. We desire all those gifts, amen? Yeah. So when we come together, we have this desire, this corporate desire that says, let it rain,
yes.
Amen? Release it, Holy Ghost. Every Sunday when we come in here, we ought to be praying that. Not just for yourself. And if you recognize, you know, the Bible makes real clear in the chapter before, or two chapters before this, Paul said, there are different members in the body. Some of you are a foot. How many feet do we have here? No, I'm just kidding. Some of you are a foot. Some of you are an eye. Some of you are a toe. You are this. You are that. And, you know, the foot can't say, I want to be an eyeball today. I want to see. Good luck, Mr. Foot. Listen, stay in your role. If the Holy Spirit's put a gift on you that you've come to recognize and operate on a regular basis, then stay in your role. And when we come together, let's pray and all be in prayer and say, Lord, quicken every gift today, every gift in each person. And the more we go along in the Lord, the more we learn to step out in obedience and act as the Holy Spirit promises, the stronger we get in that gift. I've got certain gifts that have flowed through me on a regular basis, more and more lately. This morning, the Lord gave me a couple words of knowledge about wrists and backs. That's a word of knowledge, and the Lord has used me in that. I don't know that in my lifetime I've ever been used in the gift of working in miracles. There's none that I can remember, but that's a very powerful gift. That's what we're going to talk about today. But the Bible says here, covet the best gifts. Don't be in competition. Recognize that the Holy Spirit, look back in verse 11 of the same chapter, 1 Corinthians 12:11. These work that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. Or in one translation it says, just as he determines. Who determines who gets the gifts? The Holy Spirit. All right? He says, I want this person to move in word of knowledge. I want this person to move in ear healings. But there's nothing wrong with you desiring it. Reach out. Reach out and receive it. Amen? Reach out and ask the Lord. Say, God, I want to be used. If it's in your mind, Holy Spirit, I'd like to be used in gifts of healing. I'd like to be used in a word of knowledge. I'd like to be used in you know, this or that gift. Begin to pray that. Amen. And God will quicken to you as he determines. Amen? As he wills. He makes the choice. We just make ourselves available. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Now, I want to say this. Jesus' ministry was very limited. When he walked the earth 3 years, why do I say he was very limited? Because he was one man. He was limited to one body. He could only touch the place he was in at that time. This excites me. As I got to thinking about this message, I got to thinking about what's happened since the day of Pentecost. Do you realize what's happened since the day of Pentecost? The ministry of Jesus has expanded around the globe. Because every believer who loves the Lord, who has accepted Jesus, been born again, and been filled with the Holy Spirit, has now become the ministry of Jesus in the earth. So the ministry of Jesus now reaches the entire globe. Amen? Everywhere there's a believer, the ministry of Jesus is free to happen. So when the moment calls for it, when there's a miracle needed, the gift of working of miracles can happen through that believer in Tanzania or that believer in, you know, Timbuktu or wherever. And wherever there's a believer, the ministry of Jesus has now exploded around the globe. And if you've seen the movie Risen, there's a funny part in the movie. This is a good Easter movie when Easter comes up next year. If you haven't seen it, check out Risen. It's a great flick about Jesus rising from the dead. And there's this scene where Bartholomew is being interviewed because the Romans are trying to figure out who stole the body of Jesus. Where'd this body of this Messiah, this quote-unquote false Messiah, go to? And Bartholomew is being interviewed. And right at the end, he says, I'll tell you where the believers are. And then he steps back and he goes, they're everywhere, right? And that's exactly what's happened. Since the day of Pentecost, the ministry of Jesus has exploded all over the world. And I don't know about you, but I'm excited to be a part of it. Because wherever there's a believer, there's an opportunity for Jesus to touch the healing, those that need healing, the sick, the lame, the halt, the blind, etc. Those that are brokenhearted, those that need an answer, you and I can touch him through the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. Aren't you glad? Amen. Because Jesus operated in these gifts himself. These are the gifts that Jesus operated in during his ministry. Listen, we're talking about the working of miracles. What is a miracle? A miracle is defined by this. It is a supernatural intervention of God in the ordinary course of nature. Real simply put, a miracle, as the Bible would define it, is a supernatural intervention. Intervention means somebody cuts in. You know, ever had someone stop right in front of you? It's like a, you know, intervention. It's like a car, you know, pulls in the intersection too far. You got to stop, right? The intervention comes to stop the situation in the normal, ordinary course of nature. All right? That's what a miracle is. Now, for example, we would look at a beautiful sunset. We go, wow, that's a miracle. I saw one the other night. It was like a painting driving home from work. And it was just amazing, amazing. I didn't say it, but you know, some people might look at a beautiful, you know, rich sunset and go, what a miracle of God or a miracle of nature, right? We say that, okay? That's really not a miracle. I mean, in a sense it is, but not as the Bible would define it, because it's happening in the ordinary course of things. It's a beautiful sunset. God has set, yes, he set the universe, which is a miracle in itself. He has set it in motion. And we would often, like I said, we would often look at this or that, or if you watch BBC or whatever, you would say, wow, what a miracle of creation. What a miracle of God. You know, we say that all the time. But if it's happening in the ordinary course of things, it's as God intended. And yes, that is pretty miraculous in itself. But in the true definition of the Bible, it has to be something that's outside the ordinary course. Amen? An intervention, if you will. We read last week, we talked about Joshua in Joshua chapter 10, where he said, sun, stand still. And the Bible says that the sun stood still for a full day. Now that, my friend, is a miracle. All right, the sun, you know, a beautiful sunset's one thing, but the sun standing still, that's an intervention. That's God putting the brakes on, stopping the sun from its ordinary course for a full day. That's a miracle. Amen? And Joshua's used in that situation to work that miracle. Are you with me? In a sense, Joshua was the facilitator. So when people act in this gift called the working of miracles, we don't create the miracle. We understand it happens from God. Amen? Because the Bible says the Lord made the sun stand still. Joshua became the facilitator. Think of us as like a lightning rod, right? The power's in the lightning. The rod's just bringing it down. All right, that's what you and I are when we act in this gift called the working of miracles. We become the facilitator. Another example, grape juice. Grape juice eventually, if it's left in a situation where it can over time ferment, it turns to wine. But Jesus looking at these servants in John chapter 2 and saying, pour the water into the pots, fill it to the brim, and then take that, pour it out of the pot, take it to the party host, if you will, okay, the party maker, and serve that up as fresh wine. Well, that took probably 1 to 4 minutes. Wine doesn't happen that quick, from what I understand, all right? You know, to pour out from the pot, water, it was water when it entered the cup or the goblet. It's water, 30 seconds, whatever it was, a minute and a half to get to the host of the party and hand that goblet to him. In that length of time, let's say minute, 2 minutes at most, water turned to wine. Now that is a miracle, right? It's an intervention in the normal course of things. In other words, God can twist time. Isn't that amazing? When I was a kid growing up, my dad, he's a little sci-fi nut. He liked the movie, what was it, Twilight Zone. You know, weird stuff. I never got it as a kid. It just didn't stick with me. But I know a lot of shows like that, they talk about, you know, time warpage or this space. And we are in a world that's limited by time and space, aren't we? Yes. I mean, if it's 50 minutes to get to work and I start off my journey 10 minutes behind, I can make up for it, but I'm not supposed to make up for it. Why? Because I'm limited on space. We live in a world limited by space and time, okay? So, miracles happen when those elements are interrupted. Put it another way, a miracle is a temporary suspension, I like that word suspension, of the accustomed order, an interruption in the system of nature as we know it. It's an interruption. I love that. How many of you know God created time? God can interrupt time.
Yes.
God made the laws of nature. God can twist the laws of nature.
Amen.
And that's what we call a miracle.
Yeah.
Amen? Are you with me?
Yeah.
I hope your faith's getting excited about working miracles. Because,
yeah.
You know, listen, we were born for this.
Yes.
We were born for this. You were supernaturally born. When you accepted Jesus, the Bible calls it in John chapter 3, you were born again.
Yes.
That's a new birth. You were born into a miraculous experience. You were born for the miraculous. It's supposed to happen on a regular basis. You know, it says of Jesus, if we were to write everything that happened in his lifetime, the whole world could not contain the books. Did you know your life and mine is supposed to be the same way? Why? Because we're acting not in biological life. We are living in his life. Amen? Every day of my life I see miracles. In small ways, you know what I'm saying? Not by this biblical definition. I don't see time warpage and space warpage, not big stuff. But I see little stuff all the time. And if you were to write all those things, I'm telling you, you'd have writer's cramp by the time you get to the end of my life. Because every day, I mean, Terry and I, we pray daily together. You know, what do you got on your schedule today? Where are you going today? What are you doing? Okay, let's pray for that. And every day we see miracles. You know, we see God intervene in our life. Amen? Are you with me? So look for small miracles. It's different from this gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the working of miracles. But listen, we should live a miraculous life.
Hallelujah.
Are you with me?
Amen.
We should live a miraculous life.
Yes.
Because we have the miracle power of God in us. I mean, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the same power that created everything that we see with the physical eyes, that power is in you and I. And that's the life we're called to. Howard Carter said this, a man mightily used of God. He said, the working of miracles is a mighty gift, glorifying the God of all power, stimulating the faith of his people, and confounding the unbelief of the wicked. I like that. Confounding the unbelief of the wicked.
Hallelujah.
Pam's doctor. Praise to the Lord.
Yeah.
Right? Confounding the unbelief. Confounding the unbelief. That's a miracle.
Amen.
When a miracle happens, it confounds the unbelievers. And that's what we're called to. We're called to express that. Look at Acts chapter 13. Let's look at an example of a miracle. Acts chapter 13. The believers, the apostles are starting to go out, carry this message of the gospel to the ends of the earth. And we see here a story in which a man tried to resist them, a sorcerer actually. Praise the Lord. Look in Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The two of them sent on their way by the Holy Spirit went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues, and John was with them as their helper. They traveled through the whole island until they came to Paphos. There they met a Jewish sorcerer. That's kind of an anomaly, isn't it? He's Jewish, but he's a sorcerer. And a false prophet named Bar-Jesus, who was an attendant of the proconsul Sergius Paulus. The proconsul, an intelligent man, in other words, this is a government official, he sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for that is what his name means, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, "You are a child of the devil, an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You're going to be blind for a time, and you will be unable to see the light of the sun." Immediately a mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. And when the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord. Miracles are meant to amaze those who are not yet believers. Amen? And we see in this story that Paul said, boom, you're going to be blind. Paul called down a blindness out of the unseen realm upon this sorcerer, and it covered his eyes for a time. That's a miracle. Amen? It's an intervention, a bump in the record, if you will, in the normal course of things. The guy could see. He wasn't blind a moment ago. Now all of a sudden he's blind. What is that? It's a miracle. So Paul worked this miracle here, and we see this. Let me give you another example, two examples, because last week we talked about the gift of faith. Do you remember the gift of faith? And we said the biggest image that comes to mind is a catcher's mitt. When God drops a gift of faith on you, it's like God gave you a divine catcher's mitt so that you can receive a miracle. But we have two other examples in the New Testament I want to just tell you about. In Acts chapter 27, Paul is shipwrecked. And during the course of the night, an angel appears to Paul and says, "Don't worry, Paul. You and all the prisoners aboard the ship and all the Roman soldiers that are on the ship, you're all going to survive. You're not going to perish." And this storm had been going on for days. I mean, it was obvious they were going to die. "We're all going to die." You know, the famous cry. And the Holy Spirit says, no, the angel, through the vision that Paul had, God tells him, "No, you're going to live, and everybody with you. Every life is going to be spared." And you know, among all those 100 and so prisoners, there had to be at least one or two that didn't know how to swim. Yeah. And when you don't know how to swim and you're thrown out into the ocean in stormy conditions, that's even worse. Miracle, all right? Yeah. Paul, through the gift of faith, like we talked about last week, received faith for deliverance and got to the island. They all swam ashore. The story goes on. You can read it later in Acts chapter 27 yourself. They all made it to shore alive, saved. Because the vision, the message that the angel of the Lord gave Paul, he had the faith, the gift of faith dropped into his spirit to believe God for deliverance. And they were all saved. Jesus, on the other hand, when he faced a storm, what did he do? He rebuked it and said, "Peace, be still." And what happened? It came a perfect calm. That was a working of miracles. A divine intervention in the normal course of things. The storm wasn't near being done. It was out to destroy Jesus and the disciples in the boat. But God intervened through Jesus, through the working of miracle. And mind you, Jesus did this not as the Son of God, but as a man in the flesh filled with the Holy Spirit, the same power you're filled with and that I'm filled with. He spoke to the wind, he spoke to the waves, and it obeyed him. If he had done it as the Son of God, we would read that story in the Bible and go, "Well, that's a great story, but he was Jesus. I mean, come on, Jesus can do that. What about me?" But because he submitted himself to flesh and blood, yes, and was filled with the Holy Spirit at his water baptism, He relied not on his divinity, but on this gift of the working of miracles. He spoke to the wind, he spoke to the waves from that prompting of the Holy Spirit in him that said, speak now, say this. The same prompting that you and I have in a given situation when it's needed. What did I say earlier? The best gift is the gift you need at the moment. So when you need it, whenever you need it, I will be there. I'm not a good soul singer. Maybe get someone else to sing that song. But the Holy Spirit will be there when you and I need it. The gift of the working of miracles, I'll be there. Okay, I could almost get in the rhythm if I had time. Anyways, make a note of this. The gift of faith receives. The working of miracles does. Right? Two differences between the two. The gift of faith receives a miracle. The working of miracles, when it comes on a believer, it's an active thing coming out of them. They become the facilitator. They do that. Now, not in their own strength, mind you. Again, as I said earlier, we become the lightning rod, the facilitator for the miracle. Moses, for example, God said, why are you crying out to me? Lead him across the sea. Raise your staff. What was he calling on Moses to do? You work the miracle in my name, in my authority. I've given you the authority, Moses. Now you lift up your rod. So Moses became the worker of the miracle. Now we know it was the power of God, but he became the facilitator, the worker of miracle to divide probably the greatest miracle that happened in the Old Testament. I mean, the most noted one, real close second would be David slaying Goliath, right? Yeah. Working of miracle. Impossible odds, right? All right. So Moses divided the Red Sea as God prompted him in the working of miracle. Gift of faith receives, the working of miracle does. You with me? It's more of an active, outward thing. One person said it this way. It's as if the God who created the universe and its laws allows some of his omnipotence to manifest through the person. Another definition says this in the Greek concordance. I like that word omnipotence. Isn't that good? Father, we need a little omnipotence here, right now, right here. Amen. You ever get in that place? You think, I just need some omnipotence. If you're not able, I'm not able. What do we need in the moment? The best gift we need right then? A little omnipotence, please. That would do me right about now. A little omnipotence, right? Another definition says this. Miracles are an explosion of almightiness. An explosion of almightiness. I love that definition. An explosion of almightiness that staggers and astonishes. An explosion of almightiness. Sometimes you just need an explosion of almightiness on the scene. And when you need it, and the Holy Spirit's there and he's prompting it, boom, he will drop it on you or someone around you to bring forth a working of miracles. Aren't you glad? Yeah. Amen. Say thank you, Jesus, for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. In 2010, there was a mighty, mighty miracle that took place in a meeting down in, Mobile, Alabama, I believe it was. Someone can correct me if I'm wrong. 2010, there was a lady named Delia Knox. She was in a wheelchair from an auto accident from 22 years previous. And she hadn't walked in 22 years. She was the wife of a minister, and they were in this meeting with Nathan Morris, a very popular British evangelist now. And Terry and I have heard Nathan several times in live worship services. Awesome, awesome preacher and a worker of miracles. Well, God used him in that service to raise Delia Knox up out of that wheelchair. You can see it on YouTube. I encourage you to go home today. You want to see a working miracle in modern times? Go watch. Just YouTube Delia Knox, Nathan Morris. Write that down. And you can watch him pull her out of that wheelchair. And her legs, which had no feeling for 22 years, stimulated by the Holy Ghost, the working of miracles, feeling came into her legs. They pulled her out of the wheelchair. She staggered at first. She staggers. You'll see in the video. It's about a 15-minute long video, I believe. You'll see her stagger as she regained the use of legs that had been dead for 22 years. Hallelujah. Great, great. It will really encourage your faith. Delia Knox, Nathan Morris. Listen, as I said earlier, when God looks at situations, he never sees impossible. We only see impossible. God never sees things that way. Why? Because he's almighty. He is omnipotent, all-powerful. So he never sees impossible. Wouldn't that be great to look through those eyes? I mean, just that's your everyday. We're renewing our minds, aren't we? Because through the power of the Holy Spirit, we too have that omnipotence and explosions of almightiness at our disposal. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Amen. Amen. Oh, this is good. I get excited. Amen. Through the working of miracles, Samson slew a lion with his bare hands. Through the gift of faith, Daniel received protection from lions. See the difference? Yes. Samson slew the lions. He became the worker of miracle, that which was an intervention in the normal course. Ordinary men cannot kill a lion with their bare hands. Impossible. You want to try any volunteers to take up that? Well, prove me wrong. Okay. Samson did it through the working of miracles. Remember I said weeks and weeks ago, all of these gifts, these nine gifts of the Holy Spirit we're studying, minus two, tongues and interpretation of tongues, were active in the Old Testament. So we see it in the life of Samson. We see it in the life of Daniel. But Daniel did not kill the lions. Daniel received through the gift of faith protection from the lions. Yes. And the angel did the work. See the difference? Okay. Through the working of miracles, an entire nation, the nation of Egypt, was plagued, and which ensured the deliverance of God's people, Israel. Mm-hmm. Through the working of miracles. How did God choose to deliver an entire nation? Through the working of miracles. Mm-hmm. Listen, I'm hopeful for America.
Yes.
Amen.
I want to say this. Do I have time? I got time.
Yes.
Listen, when I look in the natural, it's over. I mean, you look at all the odds stacked against America right now. It's impossible in the natural.
Yeah.
Without God. Listen, you got the I mean, there's too many things. You got the extreme immorality crowd right now trying to work their way into marriage and definitions and you know, bathrooms and everything, tearing the moral fabric of our country. You got the Islamic people wanting to come in here. Listen, if you don't know it, historically, it happens slowly. It's like cancer, really.
Yes.
And they'll go, you study what happened to Lebanon. They go in, they start electing into the political positions, and eventually they're running the country, and they're taking over, and they're saying, Allah or death.
Yeah.
Hey, folks, that's a dead end for a country. You can look all around the world and see that. There is despair everywhere in the natural. And America's fighting a losing battle in the natural, but for God.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
If I didn't believe in an almighty, omnipotent
yes.
God who yes. often gives out explosions of almightiness,
Amen.
I could be discouraged real quick
Amen.
About my own country.
Amen.
But I'm not discouraged.
Yep.
Oh no, we're in this battle to win it.
Amen.
We're in this battle to win it. But it's going to happen not in our strength, not in our power, and not through the political process. I just got to tell you, if you're believing in the political process, listen, next year's a voting year. I'm going to do my best. We're going to push voting. We're going to push all the good stuff. But that's not where we're putting our eggs. No, not that basket. No, it's the power of God. We're out to save the world. Amen? One miracle at a time. All the Marianne's of the world, you and I, we're all online. And there's a whole world of people out there. And we're going to save them one miracle at a time, one heart at a time. That's how you're going to save a country.
Amen.
I'm Scott Anderson, and I approve this message. Thank you. Miracles are a sign of divine authority. Miracles are a sign of divine authority. And this is very important. Let's look at a few scriptures that talk about this. Look in the Old Testament, what happened when a heathen king saw a miracle. Daniel chapter 4. I'm going to wrap this up. Daniel chapter 4. No. Don't listen to the news. The news will have you believing we've lost already. Why? And we've seen this in previous elections. Let me just say this, too. Another little political plug here. Sorry. You got to. At the last minute, the news will always report the negative before victory comes. They will report the opposite. I'm telling you, if the good guy's getting ahead in the polls, they're not going to say that. That's not their job. They report to a different boss. And he's telling them what to say. And they don't know how to think positive or optimistic. That escapes them. So don't listen to that. Be hopeful to the end. Daniel 4. This is a heathen king. Nebuchadnezzar talking. Look what he says here. King Nebuchadnezzar, verse 1. To the peoples, nations, and men of every language who live in the world, may you prosper greatly. It is my pleasure to tell you about the miraculous signs and wonders the Most High God has performed for me. How great are His signs? Can you say amen?
Amen.
How mighty His wonders? Can you say amen?
Amen?
His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. Can you say amen?
Amen.
His dominion endures from generation to generation.
Amen.
That's a heathen king talking. What had happened? He had just seen Daniel in chapter 3 escape the... chapter 3 was the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He had just seen them escape through the flames. So he had a little something to say about it. Miracles speak of divine authority.
Amen.
Folks, we were never meant to carry the gospel out there into the harvest field without miracles. Only with miracles can we prove that what we're saying comes from Almighty God. It's supposed to accompany our message. The two are supposed to go hand in hand together. And the king here in Daniel chapter 4 saw it. Look over in Acts chapter 2 real quick. Whisk across time, hundreds of years into the future. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. I hope you're getting ready to be a miracle worker. Yeah. Some of you in here, the Holy Spirit's going to tap you on the shoulder and say, it's you. Amen. This is you. And he divides the gifts severally as he wills, as he determines. Not all of us will do this. I may go my whole lifetime and never work a miracle, but I've seen healings. I've been given words of knowledge for people and seen God touch them. It's okay. I'm not jealous of the guy who's called to work the miracles. Hey, the guy that pulls the woman out of the wheelchair better be anointed to pull the woman out of the wheelchair, or guess what's happened? Whew. Trouble. But when the power of the Holy Spirit is on you to pull a person out of a wheelchair and work a miracle, boom, it happens, brother. It happens. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Men of Israel, listen to this. Peter's talking. Peter, who was previously afraid to even admit he was connected with Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, he's talking there. He says, men of Israel, the whole nation, I'll tell you all. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God. I like the New International Version there. A man accredited by God. You should underline that in your Bible. To you by miracles. How did God accredit Jesus to the Israeli people? Through miracles. Through miracles. Let's read on. I got lost. Miracles. I got excited on miracles. Miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. All right? Jesus was accredited how? By miracles. His ministry was earmarked. It was proven to be legit through miracles. And you and I are proven to be legitimate in our message through miracles. Okay? Through miracles. Now, you can lay hands on the sick. That's for every believer. Look over in Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Oh, if you're already halfway there, go ahead and stick your finger in Mark 16. We'll come back to it. We're going to end on that. Getting ahead of myself. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Mark 16, 1 Corinthians 2. Verse 4. This is Paul talking to the church at Corinth. He says, my message, my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words. How many of you know you can't argue a sinner into the kingdom? You can love them into the kingdom. You can pray them into the kingdom. And then you can preach when it's time to preach. But he said it wasn't persuasive words that got him in. No, with a demonstration of the Spirit's what? Power. Power. How did Paul build the kingdom? Through power. The Spirit's demonstration of power. Say power.
Power.
Look at chapter 4, verse 20. Same book, 1 Corinthians 4:20. He went on to say this. 1 Corinthians 4:20. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of
power.
That's how the kingdom expresses itself, through power. Amen? One heart at a time, one life at a time, transformed, healed, delivered. That's power. That's the kingdom of God. That's what Paul's saying here. It's not just preaching. Preaching is necessary, but the power puts the stamp of legitimacy on it. Amen? The miracle power of God brings the kingdom. That's what Paul's saying. The kingdom of God comes through power. Now back in Mark 16, we're going to wrap it up with this. Look at Mark 16:16. Well, start at 15. Mark 16:15. He said to them, go into all the world, preach the good news to all creation. Who's called to do that?
We are.
Every believer, yeah. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. That's us, right? Number one, in my name they will what?
Cast out
devils. Number two, they will speak in tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and if they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. That means you don't go out and drink it intentionally. That's when the bad guys are trying to slip it into your soup. Okay? You don't do it on purpose to test God. You do it by accident. That's what he's saying. If you accidentally do this, he's not advocating it. All right? Don't drink poison, please. It will not hurt them. They will place their hands on sick people. They will recover. They will get well. Amen? Now look at this in verse 19. After the Lord Jesus spoke to them, he was taken up into heaven. He sat at the right hand of God. That's where Jesus is. Where's the Holy Spirit? here. I heard recently that someone said they, I think it was Jesse Duplantis, had a vision. He'd gone to heaven. God allowed him to see heaven. And he's looking around at one point in conversation. He said, well, I see God the Father and I see Jesus. Where's the Holy Spirit? And they go, well, he's on earth. Oh, yeah. Kind of like a duh reminder moment. See, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. And that's true. That's true. God the Father. The Bible doesn't say there's three thrones in heaven. There's God the Father. And at his right hand is Jesus the Son. The Spirit reveals the Father. The Spirit reveals Jesus. And where is the Spirit? Ever since the day of Pentecost, he's here. He's been unleashed on the earth through the cross and through the resurrection. And he's now in us. Amen? And in everyone who believes. Now look at this last part. Verse 19. After the Lord Jesus spoke to them, he was taken up into heaven. I already read that, but it's great to read it again. And he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere. Yeah. If you want to see the power of God, you have to do what? Preach. It's the foolish thing. It's the thing that breaks us all out of our comfort zone. Preaching is like unlocking the door to the power of God. Step one to see the power of God manifest around you. Preach. Tell somebody about Jesus. They went around preaching everywhere, and the Lord did what? He worked with them, confirming his word by the signs that accompanied it. This is what happens. Miracles are released at our disposal. We know not how. Sometimes we don't even know it. You're not expecting a miracle, and God just, boom, works it through you. And you stand back and you go, wow, that was a miracle. All right? And that's how the kingdom of God comes. And that's how God confirms the word. It says here, he confirmed the word with them, working with them through the signs and wonders that followed. Amen? This is our calling, saints. Now, as I said, this is a unique gift. The working of miracles doesn't come on us all in this kind of way, like, you know, dividing the Red Sea, calling down blindness on a sorcerer. That may hit one or two of us here and there now and then to work in that kind of miracle. But we can work in the miracle power of God all the time, in a general sense, through our belief. Amen? You can see healings come. As you preach the gospel, you can see salvations come. You can pray and see God's hand at work in someone's life. That's a miracle.
Yes.
All right? So I want you to initiate you into this idea of living in the miraculous.
Amen.
Living in the miraculous. And don't be satisfied till you get there. Don't be satisfied till you get there. We were not meant to live a this is not about a religion in which we make converts by arguing them into beliefs or outgunning them with our oratory skills. That's not what Christianity is. Christianity is the kingdom of God coming in power.
Amen.
When you preach the gospel of Jesus, when you tell somebody, you open your mouth and say, this is what Jesus did in my life. Jesus touched me at church today, healed my wrist. Would you like me to pray for you?
Yeah.
And you lay hands on the sick. Your hands are a sign of authority. That's why I always wonder, why does he say place their hands on the sick? What's that about? The hand is a sign of authority. It's like God saying, I'm here. I'm doing this work. I'm initiating this. So when you put your hands on somebody, you lay hands on someone's shoulder, it's like God putting his hand there saying, I'm going to take this pain away. It's a sign of authority. So that's what we did. Amen? The more you preach, the more you'll see the power of God. Amen? And let's live in the miraculous. That's what he's called us to. Stand together with him. Praise the Lord. Well, let's give thanks once again for the gifts of the Spirit. And, you know, this is November 24th, 2019. It's a very powerful day in your life and mine. Some of you may begin operating in some of these gifts, never been used by God before in them. And after today's message, what happens? Faith comes by
hearing.
And hearing by the Word of God. Some of you are going to go out and we're going to have testimonies come back because God has used you as a worker of miracles in the world. Amen. Jesus, we thank you for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Thank you that they're active in us, all nine gifts, as needed. We covet earnestly the best gift, the gift that's needed at a given moment, the gift that's needed when we need it. And we thank you, Lord, that we have the power. Say that with me. I have the power. Through the Holy Spirit. Yes, you do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Bless us as we go, Lord. We turn as we go out this exit door today, Lord. We're stepping into the mission field, the mighty harvest to which you've called us. And we will go. We thank you that you will work with us. Signs and wonders following. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you as you go. Have a great week. And have a happy Thanksgiving.